Marine Center.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's a good day for a boat ride.
On the boat again. I just can't wait to get on the boat again.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. I'm Meg, and this is our hour at 10 o'clock on Fridays for Boat Smart our host, Stefan Schmidt. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Man, I am doing awesome.
You're holding up now? This is your third week of school?
Third week. It's actually going really well.
Good.
We're having fun.
If you don't know, he's the Marine Services Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, and this show is sponsored by Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. But I'm excited to hear about how well your students are doing.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good over there. We're having a great time, and my new students are just having a good time. And, yeah, you are listening to Boat Smart. It is a call-in show. 850-437-1620 is the number. We are sponsored by Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. Key Marine located at 5621 Bower Road here in Pensacola. 850-492-0487 is the phone number. KeyMarineCenter.com. Remember, they're your Mercury, Yamaha, Suzuki, Cox Diesel Engine, Merc Cruiser, Repower Center.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. They do a lot out there.
Yeah, they sound like they have a great team.
Yeah, they have a great team. Actually, I sent some students out there to do like a pre-interview at the first of the week. So they're looking to hire some more students, you know, from me. And they went out there and did a pre-interview. It's kind of informal, maybe.
Right.
But I sent a pair of students out there at one time, so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, I think it's pretty neat when a business will take time to just say, you know what, send them out here, let's talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's good for them.
And see what happens and go from there.
Great exposure and just find out and ask the questions. Yeah. And sometimes when you do that, you see what you need to learn.
Oh, yeah, no
right?
doubt.
Because you really don't know. And then you get out there and you go, I need to learn more about this.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, for the people that don't know, Georgetown Technical College, we put a big emphasis on interviewing and resumes and the important skills that you need to go out and get a job.
Right.
The first part is typically an interview, right?
And that's kind of the hardest part in a lot of ways.
A lot of times it is.
Because even somebody that might be really skilled may not be very good at interviews.
Yeah,
and not come across very smart or whatever.
Well, yeah, and, you know, timid or something like that. But we do mock interviews at school.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, so we'll do that. And we have people that nobody knows come in and they'll do interviews with my students and things like that. So it's a big part of what we do over there.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great.
Yeah.
So where's our buddy Bill? Bill Kidwell's been here the last couple of weeks, so he's with the Marine.
Yeah, he had a procedure or something going on, and then all of a sudden I was going to have Big Dan on the show.
He canceled
yesterday on me, or the day before he had some buddies come into town and had to go fishing.
How dare he go fishing?
Too good. I think he should be in here. I'm looking at the weather radar.
Right? How dare he go fishing?
Yeah, how dare you go fishing?
Right.
You know, so yeah, so he went fishing. We're gonna have him in here in a couple of weeks. I told him, you know, I showed him a calendar. You know, whatever day, pick it. We'll get you in here. And,
well, you sent me the thing about him. Tell our listeners who he is, because some people may not know.
Yeah, he does the boat ramp videos.
Mm-hmm.
And,
they're so funny. His commentary on people loading and unloading their boats.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
You want to hear something funny? He did a 100-hour inspection on his boat, so I had an opportunity to critique him a little bit.
Uh-oh. How did that go?
No, it went really well. I went onto his page and put a little some tips on there and things like that he kind of missed a little bit and that kind of stuff. But if you don't know, you don't know, right?
Yeah.
And so I sent him some information on that. We talked on the phone. He said, I'll just put 100-hour on my page, you know, if you want to go critique it. So don't challenge me to do that because I'm going to critique you a little bit.
That's right.
So I did that, you know, and then so we'll talk a little bit about that when he comes in too. So it was, it's interesting, but one of the things I said on there was, you know, when I load my boat on my trailer, It's either one of two things. Mm-hmm. I wish Big Dan was here filming this, or I'm so glad that he is not here filming
Correct.
This.
Correct. That's right.
Because you just never know.
Right. Anything could happen in that.
Can happen in an instant. That's for sure.
Okay. That's it.
So we've been busy over at Georgetown, and this week we're finishing up. We finished up precision measuring.
Okay. So you have to explain to me what that is.
Precision measuring is where students learn the fundamentals of measuring using using micrometers, calipers, measuring shims, drive units, things like that, to what they do out in the field.
Uh-huh.
The main thing that you'll see precision measuring used on in our industry, if you're not rebuilding engines and things like that, let's say a boat comes in and has a bent prop.
Right.
And it may be a insurance claim or something like that. And the insurance companies will ask you to do what's called a runout on a prop shaft. And what runout is seeing if a prop shaft is bent.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some tolerances you have to know on a prop shaft. How far can it be bent before it's not usable?
Right.
So the students learn that, how to measure a prop shaft and see if it's bent. We also tear down some motors and measure the clearances on camshafts and things like that, valve clearances, and that's very important to know. They do that. And then we went into torque wrenches and learned about torque wrenches and stuff, too. So we do that as well.
Okay.
So it's very important to know those skills as you go into the industry. The manufacturers want you to use torque wrenches on spark plugs and lower units and things like that.
And so what's a torque wrench?
So the torque wrench.
Sorry.
It's a good question, you know.
I have no idea.
No, you are a student that I wish I had in my class, because a lot of times when I'm talking to my students, I'll say to them, especially the new ones that come in, if you do not know what I'm talking about, raise your hand.
Say something.
And say something so I don't go over your head, I guess,
right.
is the
well,
proper thing.
You'll start telling something, assuming if nobody says anything that they know it, right? Then you're going to build on that information to go to the next step. If I'm not in on the ground floor,
right.
I'm going to be behind from the get-go.
And that's, right? And that's what students need to understand. That they need to say, hey, whoa, I don't know what a torque wrench is or whatever the component. I don't understand what I don't know what a water pump is or whatever
it is.
You said
something was a shim or a sham or something.
A shim, right. So a torque wrench is a tool that we use to tighten hardware, bolts, nuts, screws.
Is that the one that has sort of the, what do you call that?
It's either going to be like a clicker type torque wrench where it makes a clicking noise.
Yes,
or break.
I've seen them.
Yep. Or
okay.
digital. We have used a lot of digital torque wrenches. It gives you the specifications. So let's just say a spark plug, for instance, it has a specific torque value.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach them to not only torque the spark plug, but also to add an anti-seize on the threads, install it correctly, and torque it correctly. That way, whenever the next person comes along or whatever and works on it, it's going to come out easily.
Right.
It will go back in without pulling threads or damaging the spark plug.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to know how to do that. So it's a specific tightness of bolts and hardware
that
all hardware has, no matter what it is, but you don't necessarily use that at all times.
Right.
Okay. So your wheel lugs on your car,
yes.
for instance.
Yes.
Okay.
I know what that is.
You go out and you have a flat tire,
and
let's say somebody over-torqued them or tightened them with an impact.
Right.
You're on the interstate trying to take that wheel off, and it is so tight from over-torquing, you cannot get the wheel off.
Right.
Okay. So go to the flip side on that.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the interstate, driving on the interstate, and they under-torqued that wheel. And the next thing you know, your wheel passes you on the interstate.
No.
So, you know, you see the factors of that?
Yeah.
Did I explain torque wrenches well to you?
Yes, you did.
But now you understand them?
Give me a torque wrench
right
now.
All right,
now.
There you go. Yeah, it's a long lesson, but we do that.
No, but that's what you do.
It's a week-long lesson through precision measuring and torque wrenches. But it's the part where they love, because we go to hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
I give them some PowerPoints, and I walk through some specific things that I lecture to them while I'm standing there next to them.
Right.
And then we go in there and start using the wrenches and stuff, and they like that part.
Okay, this is Boat Smart with Stefan Schmidt. He is the Marine Services Instructor over at Georgetown Technical College. So if you've got a question, about torque wrenches or anything in terms of repairing your boat, we're coming into that final weekend, anything that's on your mind, perhaps purchasing a boat, just text the question in at 850-437-1620. That's why we're called the expert panel, and Stefan is definitely our expert this morning.
So the final weekend of boating season, as far as the big weekends are concerned,
correct.
Is Labor Day,
mm-hmm.
right? A lot of people are off on Monday.
Right. You know, a lot of people taking today off, actually.
Yeah, a lot of people are off today. I got a four-day weekend, so
nice.
I always have three-day weekends, unless it's a regular weird time, you know, where we have in-service or something. But I'm always off. I work my 40 in 4 days. So
there you go.
Or more, 60, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, yeah, it is a time of year where you need to start thinking about, okay, what am I going to do with my boat as we close out our boating season?
Yes.
It's very important.
Okay, so what do we do?
So, you know, one of the number one things, and I talk about this a lot, is fuel systems, okay? So as you're going into this boating season, and maybe you use your boat a lot, maybe you do not treat your fuel like I tell you to treat your fuel. Maybe you have regular gas in there and a non-ethanol fuel in there. Maybe it's time for you to run that fuel tank close to empty or close as you can to that and top it off with good fuel, okay, and top it off and treat it with that fuel additive. Okay.
Okay.
If you're not going to use your boat for a long period of time, I'd highly suggest that you treat it with an additive that's for storage versus running. There's a difference in the way you mix that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is the number one thing.
Okay.
Your fuel. Because if it's going to sit for a period of time after this long weekend and you're not going to use it for a while, you got to get your fuel treated. Run the motor with a good amount of treated fuel through the engine itself and make sure that that's done before you put your boat up.
So you don't leave it empty.
No, I don't recommend leaving it empty.
Because that'd be my thought. It would be just, it's going to be in storage or something.
No, because in our area, we have condensation builds up. Humidity, hot days, warm days, and humidity. So if you have an empty tank, it's like having a bottle that's laying out in your yard or on the side of the road that has condensation building up in it. You know, in the heat of the day. It fills up with condensation, and then it rains down into the tank. And then, you know, that's the best way I can explain it. I know everybody's seen a bottle with driplets of water in it.
Right, right.
On the side of the road or wherever, right?
Yeah.
So that's what happens in a fuel tank. So if you top off your fuel tank all the way, you have less of a chance of that happening.
Okay.
There's no room for that air to be in a tank, so the condensation isn't quite as much.
No, that makes sense.
So that helps.
Yes.
Now, if you have your boat in a storage facility like a high dry, they want you not to do that. The reason they want you not to fill your tank up is because fuel tanks vent during these processes of heat, you know, expansion of when it gets hotter, the fuel tanks expands and it vents fuel out. Okay. Well, first of all, they don't want fuel venting in their storage facilities. The second thing is, if you're up high in that storage facility, you're not, you're that higher boat, you're going to rain fuel down onto other boats below you when it vents.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, that can stain boats. It can damage upholstery and that kind of stuff. So that's another reason not to have it. And then if you're that unlucky person that's down below and you got boats stored above you, you can end up with that problem too.
Right.
Know? So if you're not familiar with storage facilities, we have high drives around our area. Legendary Marine, Marine Max. There's a few more of them out. Daybreak, which is L&M Marine now. They store boats in these large buildings. We have another huge one over there. It's called the Barn.
Okay.
A lot of big storage areas where they store boats, and they use a huge forklift to stack them inside these hangars.
Wow, yeah, I've seen those, yeah.
Right? And so there are problems to having your boat in those storage facilities, such as fuel and oil dripping down from boats above, that kind of thing.
And so you make a commitment for a certain number of months. They lease those out?
Those things are usually for a year. You're lucky if you find a place to put your boat in those. They're usually full.
Okay, and probably seasonal. Yeah. A lot of people have probably had them for years,
yeah,
I'm guessing.
Yeah, they don't get rid of them. So we got a text?
We got a question. So what is wrong with using ethanol fuel on my outboard?
Yes. So you want to use a non-ethanol because ethanol fuel pulls in moisture. That is the key thing. It does two bad things to your outboard. First of all, it pulls water in. Okay. Secondly, it's corrosive.
Oh. Okay.
It attacks your hoses. It attacks your metals. It attacks all your fuel system components, even your fuel tank at times.
Wow. Okay.
So you know what? And I've said this before. What you're spending on a non-ethanol fuel extra, you're saving in maintenance and repairs later down the line.
Wow. Okay.
So highly, highly recommend they call it a marine grade fuel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
where do you find that?
There's a lot of stations around it that will sell that marine grade fuel. Just, you're going to have to find you a station that's close to you that I go to one station typically. Very seldom do I change stations.
Right.
Because I like to know that the fuel I'm getting is good. I like to know that it's a good turnover of fuel at that station. The fuel's not sitting there forever and ever.
That's true. I never thought about that.
Fuel starts to go to bad at the station, you know.
Oh, gosh. I never thought about that.
Yeah. And so you can find it at these larger stations. You can do that. CEFCO, I know at Walmart, Murphy Oil, mm-hmm. Murphy, they sell those. And I think, you know, there's a lot of them around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great question. If you've got a question for Stefan this morning at Boat Smart, 850-437-1620.
Yeah, the teacher side of me, when I'm sitting at a fuel station and I see somebody that's putting I see them pull up and they put a non-ethanol fuel in their car.
Do you just cringe?
Why do you do that? Because you're really wasting your money, unless it's a car that may be sitting for a long period of time. It's mm-hmm. okay. But for a normal person that drives a car around, your regular fuel is not going to hurt you.
Right.
Or that the ones that have ethanol in it, right? Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Okay, that's good, because that's all I've ever used.
Yeah, that's fine for your car. But if you're going to let your car
sit. Starting to panic now.
If you're going to let it sit.
Right.
Meg, you probably should do the same process that I would say.
Uh-huh.
You know, go ahead and treat it, put a non-ethanol in, that kind of stuff.
All right, someone just asked. They texted in, what station do you use?
What station? I use a CEFCO over there on Michigan Avenue is one I go by.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's just the one that, you know, is close to my house. It's an easy route to wherever I go
mm-hmm.
with my boat, and I'll typically pull in there and get that done too. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
okay,
that's where I go.
So now we've got folks that are in the process of either keeping their boats in the water for one more weekend, or they're starting to take them out and store them and everything. Are there better places to do that when you're taking the boats out? Are there better lift
as far as where to store
the launch places?
You know? The launch places, yeah. You know, again, it's just wherever you're comfortable with.
Okay,
you know. This is probably going to be a good weekend. I'm looking at the radar here, and we got a lot of weather coming in.
Yes, we do. Today,
it looks like it's going to be out of here, though, hopefully for the weekend.
I think Saturday is really only 30%. So,
okay.
And then Sunday the same. And the rest of the week was like 20%.
Yeah, if it's
like
much
that.
Over 30, 40%, I typically don't put my boat in the water. Mm-hmm. I kind of watch it. But, you know, the thing about forecast, they forecast a large area,
yes.
So that 30% may be way north of here.
Right. Well, we used to joke when I used to do a morning show, they would say, is it raining? We say, it's 30% and right here.
Mm-hmm.
But in Pensacola, it could be 30% in Pensacola and sunny on the beach.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very inconsistent, so it's very spotty, I guess.
Well, we went out last Sunday, and we made a run. I put in at Mahogany Mill.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a run out to Fort McRae.
Right.
Hung out there. The weather was supposed to be great. Mm-hmm. I looked at the forecast. It said some, you know, weather was coming in the afternoon late.
Right.
And so once we left Fort McRae, we headed over. I like to look for dolphin and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So we cruised over toward Orange Beach area. And there was a huge storm brewing over there on Orange Beach area, just north of it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at the radar on my phone. That's another tip that I would have, to keep your phone and look at the radar a lot. And I noticed that the storm that was there was kind of circling around like a U-shape,
uh-huh.
coming back in toward the pass, Pensacola, right on the route that I had to go back.
Oh, no.
So I had people with me, of course, and so I watched the weather, and I said, you know, well, we're not going to go this way, and right now would be a great time for us to head back. So just as we got into Mahogany Mill, the storm was coming, you know, from the north to the south,
right,
wrapping around. And everybody knows that was Sunday afternoon. We got all that rain.
Yeah.
And so now I'm hustling to get the boat on the trailer because lightning's popping.
Oh, no.
And I'm getting ready for the rain to come down. And after we got the boat loaded on the trailer, probably 5 minutes later, the downpour came.
Wow. So your timing was good, fortunately.
The timing was good. And so, you know, you have to kind of look at the weather,
mm-hmm.
you know, for your weekends out on the water. So it's a good idea to look at that. You know?
The idea of having the radar with you is smart,
because
it definitely
good.
Is hard to tell.
Yeah, you look. And you kind of say, oh, well, maybe I need to check this and see which direction mm-hmm. that's going, you know, because you don't want to be out there in lightning and that, you know. I don't mind rain. Lightning scares me. I'll be honest with my listeners. I do not like being, I've never been, knock on my wooden head here, never been struck by lightning or, you know, I've been close. I've heard, you know, it's got hit, I've seen it hit trees and stuff
right.
around when you come back in
right.
and, you know, stuff like that, so.
Lightning on the water is something
on the
else.
Water
when
is
you
scary.
You see that lightning bolt hit water.
Yeah.
Wow. I've seen that a couple times.
It's a little scary, you know, and I don't have any good tips for that other than pray a lot and get back on land somewhere, you know.
Get back in.
Yeah, just kind of get back
chances.
In because you are the highest point
mm-hmm.
on the water at that point.
Especially if you have a sailboat.
Oh, yeah. Sailboat or a boat with a tower, mm-hmm. you know, T-top and all that stuff. I'm on an aluminum boat, so. That's not good either.
That's probably not. No.
No, not good. 850-437-1620. Maybe you got a question about your boat. Maybe you have a comment about Georgetown Technical College. You want to give us that as well. 850-437-1620. We're just having a good time over there and learning a lot. And my students have a big project right now.
Oh, what is it?
That they have tore down. We have a four-stroke 250 Yamaha tore down in the shop. We have it down to the bare bones.
No kidding.
Yeah. This
you totally
engine,
disassemble it so they can put it back together again? Is that how this works?
Well, this was not a typical thing that we do. I don't rebuild engines in the shop.
Okay.
We don't do that.
Okay.
But we have a motor that was donated to us, and it had some problems. We had some shipping damage, so one of the cams was broke. We had some things that we were working on, and that's great. We got in there. I had some cams laying around, mm-hmm. so students got it all back together, fired it up. It ran about 5 minutes, and the next thing I know, it locked up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I'm like, did y'all check the oil, you know? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And you know, I went through all that with them. And I walked over, and I pulled a dipstick out of the dipstick tube, and nothing but water came out.
Oh, no.
So it had water in the crankcase where the crankshaft is, and the oil is.
Uh-huh.
And it filled up that crankcase to the dipstick tube and further. And the water had gotten on the mains and locked the motor up.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, so we had to go down a scenario of, okay, what happened to this thing? So, you know, we just did the timing belts and everything. I didn't feel like that was an issue because my students are well-versed on putting engines in time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. We couldn't rotate the motor because it had locked down.
Right.
Okay. And so we looked at everything. We pulled the heads to see if we had impact on the valve train and the pistons. If your motor's not in time, you could have impact
mm-hmm.
where the motor or the piston hits one of the valves, exhaust valve or intake valve. That was no problem there. No water in the cylinders and only in the crankcase.
Hmm.
Had we were able to get this motor running again, we would have evacuated the water, put some oil in, and tried to locate the problem. We didn't have that luxury since the motor was locked down. So they actually took the motor apart, pulled the heads, pulled the power head off, got it in a stand, took it all the way down, crank, pistons, everything out of it, and then we pulled the oil pan and all that. So we have a bare bones motor on a shelf over there that we're going to order parts for and mm-hmm. put this thing back together. I'm trying to work with Jeff Crane to see if there's anything out there as far as if he knows of why this motor would have done that. I can't find the problem.
Hmm.
So we don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you've been stumped. How often does that happen?
Well, it happens in certain situations where you have to say, okay, before we put this motor together, we need to find out what's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Why did it do that?
Right.
Right. Now, I had some hands in it that got in there that weren't on that project that moved some things around on us that kind of messed us up on our troubleshooting.
Oh.
So that was an issue. So mm-hmm. one of my things when students are working on projects, you keep your hands off of that student's projects, you know. Because sometimes we have students that think they know more than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to walk over there and start taking things apart, and they shouldn't. And then the other students that are working on it are afraid to say, hey, this is my project. Leave me alone.
Right.
And I come over there and I say, hey, you need to tell them this is your project. Leave you alone.
Right. Boundaries.
Right. And so that was a little bit of a situation. I didn't get to put my eyeballs on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, so that's where we're at. So we're going to let you know what we're finding out on that. I had the students send me a bunch of pictures, and I'll put that up on there as
great.
On the site as well. When we do the Boat Smart Tricks of the Trade channel, we'll get that up there.
Yeah, tell us where that is, too, so folks can find
you. Boat Smart Tricks of the Trade on YouTube. That's where I post all my videos. So what I'm finding out, I take this audio.
Mm-hmm.
I got three cameras running here today. Meg, I got you all over. I got everything. I got a 360 camera in here.
I'm supposed to be on radio so I don't have to do my hair.
And then I'm putting this up on YouTube. I pull your audio down. I mix it with mine. And, I'm a producer, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, he's the new Steven
and
Spielberg.
So what I've noticed when I add pictures from the school
mm-hmm.
or the events that we do to that, we start getting more viewers on that. So people like to see the pictures. They don't want to see my face.
Right. Well,
they want to see the pictures and the videos, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're doing that. And
good.
The problem is I forget to get the cameras out. I get so busy. So I told my students last night, we're going to get the cameras out more. I'm going to stage them around here, you know, probably help them behave a little better if I got cameras everywhere.
you'll see who's getting into somebody else's project
quick,
right?
Exactly.
That's
I could
funny.
Rewind that and listen to every audio and all that. You know, but I really, when I say this, y'all, I'm having a good year. These new students that I got are wonderful.
That's awesome.
They're engaged. They're having a good time. They're learning. Like I said before, they're all 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a 16-year-old in there mixed in. And we're just having a good time, and it just gets me excited,
right?
And it makes me prepare
mm-hmm.
because they're moving at a good clip through all the projects and stuff. So I have to be ready for the next project.
Sure.
All right, what are we going to do next and all that
stuff?
Well,
when you have people eager to learn, it's more challenging for you.
Yeah, so it's fun, and we're having a good time.
Well,
so next
great.
Week, I'm going to have our assistant principal on.
Oh, no kidding.
Miss Carol. She will be on the show
fun.
With us. This is going to be a year's anniversary for her.
Wow.
We had
already.
Her on. I brought her in when she first came on board, and we're going to have her back on, and we're going to ask her how things are going.
Excellent.
So she's excited about that, and I'm excited about that. And,
I
think she's doing a great job. I really enjoy working with her and all of our administration. They
Excellent.
Do a great job over there.
All right. We're out of time, believe it or not.
I'll be back next Friday with Miss Carol.
And Boat Smart.
And Boat Smart.
Right here on Pep Talk. Thanks for listening. You can always find this on our newsradio923.com. To click on podcast, click on Boat Smart, and you can find us.
You can find us.
All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks, Stefan.
Yep. And safe boating.